Ryan chose the man with the blaster. Gauging the crosswinds, he began to sway with the movement of the ships, then laid the crosshairs of the long blaster on the man's face, shifted his aim into the wind and below. The report echoed between the ships, skipping across the waves, and the target doubled over, clutching his gut. Ryan fired again, and the man at the wheel lurched backwards, spraying blood into the air. Out of control, the ship swung with the wind and veered away from the Constellation just as the pirate cannons bellowed again. The balls splashed harmlessly into the ocean.
No, they know we mean business. Okay, swabs, prime your blasters and grab a blade. You there, Master Gunner, give me 6 cannons with solid shot on my command. No more and no sooner. Aim to hit amidships. Only got 10 shots. Gotta make everyone count. Get going.
On my way.
JB tossed Mildred the shotgun. She made the catch, and he took off at a run.
Doc, Dean, with me.
Doc and Dean followed close behind the armorer. Grimly, Mildred slid a fresh cartridge from the loops on the shoulder strap and fed it into the belly of the S&W M4000. Not buckshot, but the stainless steel flechette slivers. Just let the pirates get close, and they'd think they stepped into a meat grinder.
Ready, on the deck! Aim! Mind the pan flash! Fire!
A dozen sailors discharged their flintlock muskets. Puffs of smoke on the enemy ship showed where the 75 caliber mini-balls impacted, but not a pirate fell. In response, a flight of arrows from the Delta Blue arched into the sky, then plummeted to hit all over the Constellation, mostly only punching holes in the taut sails. Ryan shot again. A lantern shattered, starting a small fire. The archers rushed to extinguish the blaze.
Good shot!
Ryan jacked a fresh round into his weapon. The pirate cannons bellowed flame and smoke, and another volley of cannonballs whistled over the deck, but much lower. Caught loading her weapon, the busty redhead gave half a scream as she was hit directly in the stomach. Blood vomited from her mouth, and both arms and legs broke off from the brutal collision. The torso went sliding across the deck, leaving a crimson wake, and went over the side of the ship.
Oh, Susan.
Estimating the range at 150 yards, Ryan started leveling rounds at the pirates. The man in the crow's nest clutched his face and fell, spiraling to the deck. The acne-scarred man flinched as a spoke on the wheel exploded into splinters, but he never let go and continued doggedly for the Constellation. Ryan faced 3 more men on the open deck, but it seemed to make no difference. Another pirate was already climbing into the crow's nest, shouting orders to the crew below. The rest of the companions stood with blasters ready, waiting for the other ship to get closer so they could shoot.
Ace them!
The others cut loose, the barrage of rounds startling the pirates and chilling several.
We need a bastard bazooka!
Ryan jacked out the spent magazine and shoved it into a pocket. Searching his belt, he found another rotary clip of 5 rounds and slid it into the open breech of the hot weapon.
Satchel charge!
Shotgun slung over a shoulder, Mildred thumbed fresh rounds into her ZKR-38 target pistol.
Ready! Fire!
The crew shot their muskets once more. As the crew of the Constellation reloaded, only 2 arches on the Delta Blue unleashed arrows, then the pirates fired their long blasters. Rounds hummed by and a rope parted, but nobody was hit. However, the 3-masted ship was much closer and gaining every minute.
What's that?
We're ready, Captain.
Then fire!
The Constellation shook from the volley of her cannons, dark smoke stretching across the waters. On the pirate ship, a water barrel exploded. Several pilots reeled, covered with splinters, and a large section of the front gunwale was torn away. A pirate fell, missing a leg, and was dragged to safety by his crewmates. But the broadside had done little damage.
Too high! Use chain this time!
Chain?
Doc swabbed out a hot cannon to quench any lingering sparks inside. He withdrew the wet bundle of rags and stroked in the dry rags to remove any excess moisture.
You'll see, Doc. Load these 2. We've got to conserve.
When Doc and Dean had done their jobs and retreated to a safe distance, JB used a piece of burning rope on the end of a pole to touch off the fuses. The three cannons roared in a neat line, the black smoke of the discharge blocking their view for a few moments. As it cleared away, the companions saw a dozen ropes dangling loose, sliced completely through by the whirling length of heavy chain spinning across the ship. A lot of men on deck were missing, and the aft mast slowly cracked and toppled over into the sea, taking five men caught in the rigging along with it into a watery grave. The pirate ship was crippled, but still moving closer.
Again!
A huge tear appeared in the forward sail, and a gaping hole was punched in the side of the Delta Blue, a good 10 feet above the waterline.
By the three Kennedys, we missed! Just a tad lower and she'd be sinking like a rock.
Once more she'd do it.
With fucking what? That was it for black powder. There's nothing left in the barrels. Now we go up on deck and dig in with the rest.
I have 2 pounds of black powder. Any good?
Useless. Wouldn't get a 12-pound ball halfway.
To hell with it.
Dean went to the nearest open hatch. Pulling out his Browning semi-automatic blaster, he aimed at the pirates.
Dean, no!
Why not? Might get one of them.
Firing from a cannon port would mean we are out of powder, and that means we are defenseless. But are we really defenseless?
What's a plan?
C4, my good man. Do we have any left?
Dark Knight. We do.
JB rummaged in the munitions bag hanging from his shoulder. The armorer extracted a grayish rectangle of what looked like oily clay.
Hot damn! A full block! That might be enough.
Start cutting. We'll do the rest.
As JB got busy with a knife, Dean's face suddenly brightened in understanding, and the boy joined the silver-haired man at a portal, banging away steadily with his Browning. The row of cannons on the Delta Blue thundered again, and the Constellation trembled as something slammed into her sides.
Grape shot! Got holes in us from stem to stern.
Above the water level?
Aye, sir.
Then fuck it. Keep firing.
Captain, I'm out of powder.
Aye, sir. Me too.
Any more?
That was it. We lost too much chilling those slavers.
Abigail drew a knife and yanked the belt off a corpse, started lashing the blade to the end of her musket.
Fuck it. Make spears.
The cannons of the Delta Blue were pulled inside the ship for loading. Knowing he had a few moments in the clear, Ryan stood and placed his shots with care, not willing to waste a single round. He had more ammo in the backpack, but not a whole lot more. He hadn't planned on any extended firefights. Again and again, the Deathlands warrior tried for the pilot, but the ace man was now hiding behind a corpse lashed to the wheel as protection. And the gunners working the cannons were much too well protected behind the stout oak bulkheads. Every minute, the Delta Blue was edging steadily closer to the ship. Every move made by the pilot at the wheel of the Connie was countered by the pirates. There was no escaping from the big blasters of the small ship. The pitted muzzles of the black cannons emerged once more. Ryan ducked only moments before the 20-pounders roared a full salvo. A rain of lead pellets hit the ship, the masts rippling with 1,000 tiny holes.
Grape shot again.
Aye, trying to slow us down.
It's working.
Mildred fired her ZKR in a two-handed grip. Wounded in the shoulder, a pirate spun about while firing his blaster and chilled one of his own crewmates.
What the fuck are they doing down there? Don't they know that it'll only draw the pirates in quicker?
Yes, they do. Wondered how long it would take them to think of it.
Ryan shouldered the Steyr and drew his Sig Sauer. Short range and silent, it was a close-quarters combat weapon, but carried more rounds and loaded faster than the long blaster.
Think of what? They've sealed our fate!
Saved our asses is more like it.
Christy paused, for the first time noticing the trickle of red going down the sleeve of her jumpsuit.
Gaia.
Testing her shoulder, she found a sore area, the far brick black with her blood. Her fingers moved, and the blood didn't spurt out from a torn artery. Only a flesh wound, nothing serious. Panga knife in one hand, blaster in the other, Ryan went behind a water barrel. Drawing a Bowie knife, Christie did the same at a high-yard coil of rope. Brandishing the shotgun and revolver, Mildred took a firing position behind a turnstile used for raising the sea anchor.
Everybody take cover! And get away from the railing! Far away!
Suddenly, Jones understood.
O'Malley! Daniels! Get axes up here on the double! Prepare to repel boarders!
Gore coated the deck of the Delta Blue. A corpse was burning by a hatchway. Dropped weapons lay scattered about. Pieces of the smashed gunwale and barrels everywhere. It looked as if they'd already lost the battle, and not in the process of winning.
Captain Draco, the master gunner says they're firing from the cannon ports.
Holding a bloody bandage around his belly, Draco sneered.
Out of ammo, eh? Good. Giles, cut in close. We'll seize the ship and capture the crew alive.
Half of his shirt soaked red, Giles merely nodded and spun the wheel rapidly. The nimble schooner angled sharply for the lumbering giant.
Prepare to board and storm!
Using extreme care but moving quickly, J.B. hesitantly moved the knife blade to the quarter mark on the block of C4, then to the third. This was a dangerous gamble. Too little, and a cannonball wouldn't penetrate the hull of the pirate ship. Too much, and the cannons would burst. Slicing the block apart, he sheathed the blade and went to the nearest cannon. Grabbing the ropes, he strained to pull the half-ton blaster away from the firing port and finally got it clear.
Stop shooting and help me!
Moving fast, Doc and Dean tucked away their blasters and ran to give the man assistance.
What is it, JB?
Load the middle three, 2 balls each.
Doc went to the left, Dean the right. Lugging iron balls, they came waddling back to see J.B. toss a block of Plasax down the muzzle of the second cannon and move on to the third.
Move faster! We got 2 minutes!
These are solid iron, sir!
Doc lugged a dull gray ball to the mouth of the first weapon and rolled it inside. Dean did the same thing, and as they moved to the second cannon, J.B. started pushing the first forward until its muzzle was sticking out the gun port. In moments, the three cannons were fully loaded and in position. The firing above was louder than ever, the pirate ship only 50 yards away and closing. Moving to the farthest end of the deck, J.B. took refuge behind a cold cannon and removed his glasses, tucking them into his shirt pocket.
1 minute! Brace yourself! This is going to be loud!
Joining the armorer at his sanctuary, Doc and Dean crouched behind the half-ton cannon, then covered their ears and opened their mouths to prevent going deaf from the concussion. None of them knew if this trick would actually work, but it was the best chance they had.
What happens if the cannons can't contain the blast?
We die. 40 seconds.
At nightmarish speed, the two ships headed toward each other on a collision course. On the quarter deck, O'Malley was hurriedly tying off the wheel so he could join the defenders on the deck. From the main deck, a girl held open the door to the captain's quarters, while others hauled out an oak wardrobe and heavy wooden chairs.
What the fuck are you doing, O'Malley?
If we keep the ship on course, then all we gotta worry about is fighting. We let the Connie run free, and she might swing away and then slam back against the pirates, sinking both ships.
So we cut the wheel loose if we're losing?
Too chancy. We go to the bilge, open the petcock valves, and flood the hold. No pirate son of a bitch is ever gonna walk the wood of this ship.
The girl jerked and slumped to the deck as the bullets hit her, blood gushing from the hideous wound in her throat. O'Malley knelt by her side, trying to think of a way to staunch the hole.
Calm waters and safe harbors, little one.
He took her knife and duckfoot blaster. The pilot tucked them into his belt and raced to join the rest of the crew at the starboard gunwale. Now less than 30 yards from the deck of the Delta Blue, pirates irregularly fired at the Connie, while a dozen men stood twirling grappling hooks around in circles above their heads at the end of long ropes. The Cold Hearts looked eager, almost excited, but none of them spoke or laughed or shouted. The rigging was full of men with knives in their teeth. A scarred man with a marbled eye was shouting orders, and the ugly pilot stood defiant at his post, safe behind the bullet-riddled corpse lashed to the wheel. On the Constellation, the companions were crouched below the gunwale, along with anybody else who had a loaded blaster. The rest of the mixed crew frantically moved things to form a barricade across the deck. Tables, water barrels, lifeboats, spare sails, anything that could offer any protection. Even the girls knew that the fighting had to remain on the main deck, or else the ship was lost. Here they had room to maneuver. In the tight confines of the hold, they'd be easily captured. Holding her makeshift spear, Abigail made sure she still had the extra knife in her boot. She still hurt, fore and aft, from the gang rape by the slavers, and had no intention of ever being captured alive again. One quick slice to the right side of her neck where that big vein was, and she'd be aced in less than a minute. Most of the other girls were also carrying spare knives, and quite a few of the men, too. Their expressions were even fiercer than those of the girls.
On my mark. Now!
The decks of the vessels were almost level, the Connie riding low with her heavy load of cargo. The range was 30 yards, and the fusillade of rounds caught the pirates by surprise. Jack's big bore 357 threw thunder at the Cold Hearts, the hollow point rounds ripping away chunks of the other ship's railing. The pirate screamed, his hand missing fingers, and another spun away with most of his face gone. Her red hair tightly coiled at her nape, Christy shot her Smith & Wesson in a two-handed grip, the .38 revolver clearing the gunwale of pirates as they ducked for cover. Only a few stood to fight back, one pirate raising a flintlock and firing, but the weapon only fizzled, the pan improperly filled. Christy caught him in the shoulder, and he dropped the blaster. The ships were 20 yards away, the distance narrowing fast. Archers released a flight of arrows, but nobody was hit. Aiming and firing as fast as he could, Ryan chilled three of them before the rest dove for cover. A sailor on the Constellation threw an axe that only reached halfway before falling into the water. Pumping and shooting, Mildred cut loose with the shotgun, aiming at the men in the rigging. Several fell and dropped to the deck. One only made it halfway before getting tangled in the ropes and dangling helplessly by a foot. But there were a lot more remaining, and even as she slid fresh cartridges into the blaster, more Cold Hearts raced out of a hatchway. Big men armed with axes and swords. The boarding party. Slapping in a fresh clip, Ryan emptied the Sig Sauer at the fresh troops, concentrating on headshots. Even if he didn't get a clean chill, at least they'd be partially blinded by the blood in their eyes. Jack went for the captain with the weird eye. Mildred fanned the rigging again. Christy concentrated on the pirates lining the railing. Casting aside his musket, a man turned and ran from the rapidly firing blasters of the companions.